Coming up on TMS, Stage and Screen loses one of the greatest actors of our day.
Super Bowl is over, and one team could really use some legal pot right now.
Salt Lake City in trouble for taking away your lunch.
Dude gets buried in the least appealing way possible.
At least I think so. The web's most popular women's list has a big problem on it.
J.K. Rowling says Harry and Hermione should have gotten married.
Major spoilers.
Geek food.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, we've gone bananas for Big Banana in crayon. You'll learn to write a lot of ways. Oh, we've gone bananas for Big Banana in crayon. The colors are so bright and gay. Oh, you can learn to color, write smooth lines or fat, draw a banana and give it a hat. Okay, bunch, you'll go bananas for Big Banana in crayon. You'll learn to write a lot of ways.
He sleeps in the raw with his ma and his pa.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
I am not a robot. I am a unicorn. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. I would point your attention to that man over there. His name is Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello.
And I am a Scott Johnson.
You're a Scott Johnson.
As legend has it. I am a Scott Johnson.
The elusive, get your phone, get your cameras out.
That's right.
The elusive Scott Johnson.
My favorite. It's TMS. We're here. It's The Morning Stream. And that little clip.
He sleeps in the raw with his ma and his pa.
That guy is the Nightline dude from, or not Nightline, Frontline.
It's not Ted Koppel.
No. It's the Frontline dude from that PBS series that's like hard-hitting, deep journalism documentary stuff. And if you've seen those at all, ever seen a Frontline, you'll hear that guy.
He sleeps in the raw with his ma and his pa.
Now, if you think that might be a little bit goofy, it's because it is. It is part of what I think is one of the best Simpsons episodes of late. The most recent one about Google goggles, they call them.
Yes,
or whatever.
Right.
It's freaking brilliant.
It was really, really funny.
You should watch it. Their technology ones where they kind of make fun of current tech trends is always good. And the Apple one was good.
The
this
iPad,
one's great.
Yeah.
The MyPad or whatever they called it.
Right.
It's really, really funny. And that guy, somehow that guy got money to do his Frontline thing, but as a giant joke. And it was
I don't remember when they used that. When did they use that?
There was in the middle of it, there was like a big, long documentary thing where... I'm trying to think of what it was actually about. It was basically just following around kids at a school. I can't remember the deal. Anyway, but they did like a whole fake version of that show.
Really?
Yeah, and they called it Timeline or something, some other fake name. It was great.
That's
really good. So that's where that came from. Just want to let people know where that came
from. I watched
that
episode. I just didn't remember that part. But okay, I'll trust you.
Remember this guy?
Paper! Have you ever seen paper?
It's that time of the year where I will rewatch.
It's about time to watch that again, huh?
Waterworld.
Nice.
It was last January. It's now February. I think I'm a little late, so time to inexplicably enjoy a film everyone hates every year one more time. And I'm looking forward to it. Nice. Brian, it's good to have you back. Yesterday was a rough day, man.
Oh, it was a little bit of a rough day. Yeah. Should we do the?
Yeah, let's talk about. We're gonna bring all our top of the show talk to you by somebody today.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It is brought to you by all of the generous listeners who have donated to the Alpha Geek Radio Indiegogo fundraiser. Thanks to them, we've achieved our tier one fundraising goal, and thanks to a marathon coding session on Todd's part this past weekend, many of the upgrades are now in place. Head over to alphageekradio.com and read all about it. Also, thanks to the generosity of Angry Chicken listener Joel, a beta test of the Alpha Geek music channel is already running ahead of making it to the Tier 2 goal. Thank you, Joel, for the test bed and the bandwidth. Head over and check it out. And while you're there, send some suggestions about what artists you would like to see on the channel. Thank you all, and let's see if we can make the next tier. Still 18 days to go.
Yeah, help it out. It's good. Cool. You guys, some of you are listening. Many of you are listening to this show right now on that channel. And if you like it, give back a little bit.
Yes. And I think it's okay for me to announce. I think I may have even mentioned this before, but thanks to Todd and Alpha Geek Radio, we are this close to having an all cover Coverville radio channel.
Nice.
So
covers all day, every day.
Covers 24 hours a day. And I've actually got, I went out yesterday right before the game to Micro Center and bought all the components I need to build a PC to house it.
Mm, nice.
It's going to be fun. That's my afternoon project today is building a new PC.
Look at you, dude. That's great.
Yeah, it'll be the third one I've built. I have fun doing those.
You are you have an aptitude toward it. Let's put it that way.
I guess so. Yeah.
I used to do that all the time. I don't do that anymore. I'm not good at it anymore. I've kind of let the train go too much ahead of me.
It's really not that hard. You jump right back on that.
It's probably
bicycle.
Easier than it used to be. I'm
it
guessing.
Probably is actually because everything's all components. Like, all right, just put the motherboard
checklist.
In.
Yeah, right, it's like a checklist. Step one, step two, all exactly. all the way through. That's great. Yes. All right. So yesterday, rough day, and here's why.
Yeah.
News broke early that Philip Seymour Hoffman was found dead in his apartment.
Right.
I'm a giant. Ridiculous fan of Philip Seymour Hoffman's work.
This was crazy. Now, first you start thinking, all right, well, this is another internet hoax. Mm-hmm. You know, he's way too young to be dead and da da da.
It's only 46. Yeah. Not very old. Found in an apartment now. Details are coming out. Had needles in his arm. Looks like an apparent heroin overdose.
Yeah.
Apparently, he checked himself back into rehab in May of last year dealing with this. Didn't know that.
I had no idea. It was like Corey Monteith. Tina was pointing out. It's like, yeah, that Corey Monteith where you had no idea that he was having problems until it was too late.
Yeah, he's putting out movies in the meantime where he's putting in incredible performances. What was that movie where he played a priest?
Doubt.
That was an amazing performance.
That was so good.
Incredible stuff. And he
of course.
What was that one he won the Oscar for? Capote?
Capote, yeah.
So good.
Yeah, and the Big Lebowski, he's the elder Lebowski's right-hand man.
Yep. Yes, and he was great in that. He was the driver and twister.
Right, yep.
Think about that.
Dead Poets, or not Dead Poets Society, the other one. Scent of a Woman, he was one of the snarky classmates. And then just recently, like last year, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Which... I'm hoping they've done the filming for the next two parts of that movie because Plutarch Holmesby or whatever his name is makes is quite an important character for the last act of that of that book series.
Is that really his name in that book? Plutarch?
Plutarch something. Plutarch.
Good Lord.
Well, it's like, you know, it's so Jake Heavensby. That's it. Plutarch Heavensby. It's such a... J.K. Rowling style thing to do,
totally
you know?
Is, yeah. Or all the, it's like when the new dark arts teacher is Plutarch freaking Bumsby or whatever you say.
Right.
So I'm sad about this, and I don't know what other details have come out and stuff, but man, come on, drugs, what's going on with drugs? No more drugs. Let's be done with those.
Yeah, for peace's
sake.
Especially
the illicit kind. Super Bowl happened. Next sad thing of the day.
Of drugs.
Yeah, no doubt. So that thing happened. The safety first play.
Good Lord.
Freaking goof up.
12 seconds in. You know, there were so many. There's always those prop bets that you can make in Las Vegas where you don't bet on who wins or what the score is or anything like that. You bet on things like what the results of the coin toss are going to be and whether the first play of the game is going to be a run or a pass.
Right.
You also can bet on what the first score of the game is going to be. Yeah. And if you bet on...
2 points.
If you bet on a safety, it's like a 200-to-1 odd. So like if you put a $5 bet on there, you're walking away with $1,000.
Yeah. Somebody had to have, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
Somebody had to. Yeah, it was an ugly display. One of the worst football games I've ever seen.
It really was, yeah.
I mean, I had fun with it, and you know, Kim went crazy with the food, and we had some family over, and it was the first year that we've been able to do this where we're unpluggers, but that Aereo service, I watched the entire game in HD over AirPlay with my phone on a 70-inch television, and it was fantastic.
Cool.
All that stuff was great. But here's where it went south for me. And by the way, those chomping at the bit going, when's Brian going to sing the song because he lost the bet?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Because I got to pick a song.
I was all ready to do it. I did my vocal warm-ups.
Mm-hmm. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Peas and succotash, succotash and peas.
So it'll happen tomorrow. Yeah. And then I don't know what we're going to do as far as the 50 push-ups. I've got some ideas of how to hook that up.
All right, good.
Camera so that people can see me do those.
I feel guilty when I win bets. So you could do anything at this point and I would probably go for it.
I hope Chinbeard feels guilty when he wins bets too.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's a good point. So, it didn't go well, and we'll do the song tomorrow, but it got worse. So I came into the game super cocky. I went in the game, not about the teams, not about, by the way, the halftime, just one of the best halftimes I've seen.
Oh, you think?
I'm not even a big Bruno Mars fan, and I thought that was great. That was just straight up good performance. I'm not exactly comfortable with being the age I am and hearing that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are the guests of Bruno Mars, that you're going to sandwich them in the middle like so much white stuff on an Oreo, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I didn't like that very much. I thought they were fine. I think Anthony Kiedis looks amazing for 50.
Yeah.
I think the... I got to tell you about this bet. Speaking of bets.
Okay.
My daughter and I, my 16-year-old daughter Carter and I, went into the game with very little betting about the game, but we had one bet, and my bet was that when they came on stage, Flea would have no shirt on. That Flea would be shirtless.
Okay.
And she said, he will have a shirt, but it may be off by the end, but he'll definitely be wearing a shirt when they come out.
That's funny.
That was her statement.
Okay.
So we didn't care about anything but waiting for them to come on stage for the big reveal. So when Bruno Mars and the rest of his, the guys from Back to the Future band, when they were...
The rest of the miracles, yeah.
Yeah, when the rest of the miracles started going, what I got to get it, put it in you, or whatever. They started singing part of the song, or Give It Away Now, they were doing.
Yeah, the same thing.
And I went, oh, that means, okay, here's the big reveal. They're going to pop out of a cake, or something's going to happen here.
Right.
And sure enough, bling, out comes Flea with no shirt on, and we had the best smack talk and fun in the living room ever.
That's awesome.
At this stage of the game, it's still going great, man. Oh, I want to know the Bruno Mars thing. Where do you stand on that?
I like Bruno Mars. I mean, I don't have any Bruno Mars albums. I've got probably a couple songs. I know him, through his singles and also obviously through a lot of covers. I thought it was probably the best review I could give it was a solid performance. Mm. It was about what you'd expect from a Super Bowl halftime, but I wouldn't call it the best halftime show.
That's funny because I don't think I've seen a good one in so long.
I really like the Who one from a couple years ago. I know that you didn't like seeing the Pete Townsend upshirt.
The upshirt shot was the one that still sticks with me.
I know.
I can't deal with that. I saw his boobs and his weird gut and hair that shouldn't have been there and all kinds of things.
Despite the Nipplegate incident, I still think that, Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, show was still really, really well produced and well choreographed.
They had a chance to top that controversy this year. They could have had the Chili Peppers come out in their signature sock wieners.
Yes, they could have.
They totally could have, but they didn't do it. I was a little bit disappointed. No sock wieners, but at least Flea came out half naked, which is what I wanted. It was fine.
Prince
was
good a few years ago. Tom Petty, good. Yeah.
Yeah, they were all right. But when they bring in the old school dudes, it's always a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bringing Bob Dylan in ever because he's too busy shucking cars for freaking wherever that was.
Well, the whole Detroit ad. I don't think Bob Dylan would make a great halftime show anyway. I mean,
I don't even think he made a good commercial. I think they used someone else's voice. I think somebody faked it. Some SNL voice actor guy.
No, that's what he sounds like when he talks.
It was real bad lip matching though. Definitely done in post. I'm sure of that.
Bad lip reading.
Anyway, we're halfway through the game. We get to halftime and I'm still feeling good. Kim made meatballs marinated in some kind of awesome. She had chicken wings, the whole schmear. Okay, all good. Right. Food, all this great Super Bowl stereotypic food.
Right.
And I was all in, man, because I've been feeling better. My thing a month ago is kind of, I figured, I'm all healed up. I've been doing good. I'm working out every day. I'm eating better, salads every day. I can fall off this wagon for one day because I've earned this. Does that all sound like it's leading to something bad?
It does.
Okay.
Yes.
Fourth quarter, top of the fourth. Things are looking, it's still scoreless, I think, from the Denver side at this point.
And it was pretty much through
most of the game.
Like a third, two thirds of the game.
Didn't that feel like a gimme at the end? Like they almost let them have it?
It felt like it,
It's like, okay, you guys, it's
fine. Let them have one.
Let them have one, coach said. So we get to that part of the game, and suddenly, like someone took a knife to my belly. It feels like I'm being stabbed.
Mm.
Just hardcore. And I went, oh my gosh. I kind of like curl up on the couch and people are like, what's the matter? I'm like, I don't know. And I get up and I kind of try to walk it off and it's killing me. It hurts so bad. Basically, 2+ pounds of meatballs and 5 or 6 chicken wings turns out maybe the worst thing you can do for a guy who's recovering from a flare-up.
The diverticulitis.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it
flared
it all up, and I ended up being curled up in a ball most of the rest of the day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Three or four times in the night, just raw pain, like just horrible pain while my system's like, yeah, you know, this isn't totally healed over here. What are you sending down here? What is that? Oh, Lord. Oh, look at that meatball coming. Okay, guys, full alert. I mean, that was the kind of night I was having. And it hurt so bad. I was an inch away from the ER. I almost went, Brian.
Oh.
So what did we learn? Here's what we learned. I could not be more pissed at myself. It's all about me. I'm so mad at myself because I know this is a thing for me now. And I know that it can be triggered by bad, stupid eating, even in one meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to stop it. I have to stop acting like I'm 15 and can just shove any old thing down my hole. I need to I shouldn't have done any of that. Maybe one meatball, fine.
Right.
A half a chicken wing, great. But I should have eaten more veggies, and there was plenty of that there. I should have had some fruit, should have had all these things that are good for me. Instead, I'm putting things in me that only worked when I was 15. I've got to quit doing that. So lucky all of you who can still eat garbage all day and be totally fine, but not me. So today, new leaf, turning it. Flipping it right over. I am changing everything about the way I eat.
Good.
No more.
Good for you.
And not even this, I've already been doing better. It's just that no more of this, I've been good. I can take a whole day and screw it up. I can't even do that anymore. So I'm out. Next Super Bowl, I don't know what I'm going to have, but it ain't going to be that. Anyway, it was a bad time, man.
Aww.
And it still hurts, but I'm doing all right. I was really all night, I'm going, please make this go away so I can do a show in the morning.
Let me live through the night.
Because I got to talk to Brian after after his team got squashed. You know,
yeah.
I had to have that.
Had to.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Right.
All right. A reminder that you can still get your Oscar picks in. That's the next big thing coming up. tiny.cc/TMS Oscars is the website. Please go there. Let the world know who you think would win, and we'll see if you do win. If you do win. That makes sense? That's
perfect. Oh, yeah. It was perfectly well written. Yes.
Was Philip Seymour Hoffman nominated for anything this year? I don't think he was.
Uh-uh.
He was in some things. Was he at the Globes?
He might have been at the Globes.
I don't remember.
I don't remember seeing him. He certainly didn't come out and do any announcing or anything. There's a thing at Sundance, or there was a thing at Sundance that... People were raving all about.
It's his last interview, I think.
Willem Dafoe and, I can't remember who all was in that, but yeah.
His last known interview was at here in Utah, so I guess we have a Utah connection. You're right. There's Hunger Games, Happy-ish is something that's in post-production.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. It was something that had already been done.
The Most Wanted Man, God's Pocket, Back Beyond. There's a bunch of these. Moneyball. He was great in Moneyball. Oh, also Mission Impossible 3. Really great villain in that. Yeah, amazing.
I forgot he was in that too. Oh.
Anyway, he's got like a really sweet degree in drama. He got in college. He's a smart freaking dude.
Well, he's a friend of a friend. Dan Klass, who does The Bitterest Pill. He and I are buddies. And he grew up with the Hoffmans, they lived in the same neighborhood, and he's really good friends with his brother, Gordy Hoffman, who's in the process of doing a movie called Dog Bowl that I funded on Kickstarter. But, it's really sad.
Boogie Nights. Let's see, The Big Lebowski, Happiness, Patch Adams, which love it or hate it, he was good in that. Magnolia, dude. He was good. It was really good.
Oh, Magnolia. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Talented Mr. Ripley. Amazing in that. Mm-hmm. Most Famous, or Almost Famous. Punch Drunk Love. Oh, there's too many good movies. What are you doing? This is terrible. Cold Mountain. That was a hell of a movie.
Oh, yeah. With what's her face? Zellweger.
Yeah. All right. Well, we may have to do I may have to watch a bunch of his movies just to celebrate his life.
Maybe we pick a film sack, something that he did that's film sack worthy.
Yeah, Twister would be great, wouldn't it? Twister.
Oh yeah,
that would be good.
That would be a good fit.
Yeah, I like Twister. All right. Well, enough of this. Let's move on to Daryl time. We got to have a little Daryl time in our lives.
Daryl time.
Let's see. I meant to add him already. I didn't. Daryl. Here we go. All right. It's Stump a Trek Nerd. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
On April 5th, 2012, my email to Wendy's Therapy Thursday segment was read. A lot of helpful things were said. It's like a Dr. Seuss thing at the beginning here. Above all was the sentiment that I should keep myself busy with creative things. So I did. I made a rap album. Tales from the Canopy is a synthy, wordy journey through my self-doubt and issues with mortality, as well as nerdy references to movies, TV shows, and video games. Visit slothrap.bandcamp.com and listen to the whole album for free and or buy it for as low as $1. That's slothrap.bandcamp.com.
Very nice. Daryl, are you there? Hello, Daryl.
He's not there. Daryl.
Oh, did he hang up?
Is he partying? Maybe he's...
He was there. Oh, it's Adam again.
He's dancing and...
He answered for a second, and then he went away. Daryl, are you there?
I'm here. I'm
here. Hi. That was weird. Did it not add you last time? I don't know what happened there.
Nothing rang. Nothing happened till now.
All righty. Well, good. Well, here you are, Daryl. It's good to have you back. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was fantastic.
Oh, I forgot. You're a Seattle fan. And there. Totally forgot about that. Well, was it, though? I mean, at some point... Don't you even as a Seattle fan just go, ugh, this is a murder here?
Well, from the beginning, it was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see any teams do that kind of screw up right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have a close, good game than a blowout.
Did they have
blowouts are for diapers.
Yeah, blowouts are for diapers. Did they have a regular season game this year together? Last year, I guess?
No, they had a preseason
Yeah, because they're AFC, NFC, so.
Well, how did it turn out, that preseason game?
We won by, I think, 20 points or something.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, yeah. I just wondered, well, maybe they had, maybe this is just a fluke. But, I mean, it doesn't seem right to me that you could have the best of one division come against the best of another division and be that far off.
Well, it shows you how good, I mean, Seattle had the top-rated defense in the league. And they, if nothing else, they showed that last night by, you know, the picks and the interceptions, the recoveries, the fumble recoveries,
just the
fact that the wall they put up that the Broncos just could not get past those first few drives.
Yeah, and every time they tried, that ball would get intercepted or fumbled or something else dumb. I mean, that's all about their defense. That is insane. I don't know how that stacks up against the best defense in the history of the league, but it's got to be up there.
Yeah,
at least in the game. If you took it by a game-by-game basis, not even look at the entire season, that had to be like some special bunch of numbers. I just have to think. But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed the slaughter, Daryl. It's nice to know Daryl can watch something get destroyed and grin the entire time. Did you do anything fun, though? Do you have any like traditions around the Super Bowl, or especially when it's, you know, your home team?
Well, the kids were sick with this barfing thing, but that they're all better now. But it was kind of trying to be my turn, so I was trying not to barf. So that's what I was doing yesterday.
That's
was
amazing.
Watching this on the
couch.
Better,
I was trying not to barf yesterday too.
Really? Yeah, but you had different reasons for being.
I had different reasons.
Well, let's all try not to barf together, is how I say it. Well, good. And I was going to say one more thing. Oh, was there any looting, car turning over, any kind of freak out in the city?
Not that I know
of. That on the news. There was a little bit of that in Seattle. Yeah.
There's always a little of that, right? There's always something.
Yeah. Those dumb idiots.
I mean, surprisingly, you know, the team that loses, you'd think that that's where you'd see Denver fans just like take to the streets and go nuts. But I guess they really just do that more when they're cheering and when they're happy.
When they win.
It was a lot of people slinking back quietly from the bars and the restaurants where they were watching the game.
It's when they're drunk that they seem to do the most damage. I noticed that one last note about the game. There were a few things to like. Like Joe Namath's coat is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
There's now a Twitter account called Joe Namath's coat.
There should have been. There should have been before it even happened. That thing was so epic. But what blew me away... was now I can't remember what was I going to say. There was something
there's
I was
some
going to say.
The
ads were all right.
The bear pistachio ad was really good.
That was pretty good. Oh, I know what it was. Michael Douglas was at the game in some booth, right?
Oh yeah, yes.
Munching on a hot dog with his weird facial hair.
Yeah, it looked like a Three Musketeers beard mustache combo.
Yes, that totally did.
Now, the reason I like that point and the reason this is interesting is that playing this in HD, I noticed that Michael Douglas had mustard in his weird mustache.
Really?
At the perfect moment because they filmed him right then. I thought that was great. And that's it. That was a good game. There you go. No, it wasn't. It was terrible. No, it was awful. Daryl, let's get to you. It was, you know, you might even call it
crap.
Yeah, it was crap.
Wow.
Well, Nicole, you know, what I thought was really the Super Bowl was the game 2 weeks ago that the Seahawks played in. That was the two best teams, I thought.
Yeah. Actually, both those games, both the division games were so much better than this one. They were incredible. But I have a feeling, well, whatever. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, but it seems like San Francisco would have had a better time.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they were a better match. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of unfortunate. All right, Daryl, let's get to your Star Trek question. It's Trek trivia time. Daryl's a Trek nerd, and he answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek on the show. Here's a Dr. McCoy question.
Ooh.
Dr. McCoy had a tendency to tell people he was a doctor and not something else. I'm a doctor, not something else. In the original series... In the original series episode, the Corbomite maneuver. I always want to say carbonite maneuver.
Carbonite remover. Yeah, that's what Han needed.
That's what Bosch used in Jabba's palace. Yeah. Carbonite remover.
Yato. Let's see. He states this to Kirk. What McCoy says what does McCoy says he is not in this episode? So what thing does he say he is not in the Corbomite maneuver episode? Is it A, moon shuttle conductor, B, an escalator, C, a mechanic, or D, a torpedo technician? Tricky one, yeah?
Not really, but okay, I'll play
along. Well, while you're thinking about it and while you pat it, we're not going to eat because I have goofy guts this morning and I'm not going near anything until I kind of have, I'm doing liquid today to get myself back on track, and then I'm never going to do this again. Ever again. Mark my words, you'll never see me eat a corn dog, and I mean it. I'm done. No corn dogs, no chicken nuggets. I'm not going to In-N-Out anymore, Brian.
Aw.
If I make a burger, it's going to be lean, and I'll make it myself. Chances are I might have a little chicken on there, a little lean white chicken.
There you go.
Racist.
Good for you. I'm proud of you. Good for you.
Hold I have to, or else it hurts. It just I was like writhing in pain like some kind of baby. It was the worst. All right, Brian, or Daryl.
Yes.
Let's do a birthday. Do you got anybody who's celebrating? Let's celebrate with them.
Okay, that would be Stephen Mines. He's 75 today. He played Lieutenant Robert Tomlinson, the kid that got married on the TOS episode Balance of Terror.
Oh, he was a kid then.
Yeah.
Ish. That's great. Did you know who's the Chekhov? His daughter's married to... Oh, who did I read this about yesterday? I was going to tell you about it. Anyway, I was just surprised that she was married to somebody famous.
Really?
Yeah, some comedian that's like a big deal. And they're married. I can't remember. It doesn't matter now anyway. Whatever. They'll get divorced. It's Hollywood. Okay, well, good. Happy birthday to him. 75, you say?
Yeah.
That's a hell of an age. If we can all get that far, things will be going good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, by the way, you have a favorite performance by Philip Seymour Hoffman? Anything that comes to mind? He never did any Star Trek that we know of.
Yeah. I don't know actors and names and what they do, but I bet if you told me a role, I'd probably know it.
Yeah. He's good, though. I miss him already.
Mm-hmm. The name is super familiar, so I'm sure I've seen him in lots of stuff and loved him and stuff. I just don't know it.
I'm certain of it. Yeah. You've seen Mission Impossible 3, the best of the Mission Impossibles, right?
I have. No, I haven't.
The J.J. Abrams one? You should. It's really good. Yeah, it's amazing. And he's a very good bad guy in that. All right.
Didn't it's a Toy Story director or somebody direct that?
Yes. No. Yes. It was the Incredibles director. Brad Bird did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
that's
Incredibles and the Ratatouille, and then Iron Giant, and then he did that. Not in that order, though.
Danielle Koenig is his daughter.
Thank you.
Married to Jimmy Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo, that's it.
Stand-up comedian.
And he's also a dude that does a bunch of stuff with Jimmy Fallon, I think. He writes.
Okay.
He writes a lot of his show or something.
I believe it. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I wonder if she can do the fake Russian accent, too. Just curious. All right, Daryl, your question remains. Dr. McCoy said, I'm a bleep. Not a bloop, or I'm a doctor, not a bloop.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah. Was it moon shuttle conductor, escalator, a mechanic, or a torpedo technician?
I don't think he ever said torpedo technician. But I think, I'm pretty sure on this episode he said he was not a moon shuttle conductor.
Oh, that seems like a weird one, doesn't it? Like a long thing to say.
Moon shuttle. I'm a doctor, not a moon shuttle conductor person type of a professional.
Yeah, see? It's too long. Brian is exactly where my head was at with that. Just too long. But we'll find out if you're right. And if you are, the judges will know.
Congratulations.
Goodness me.
You're a winner.
Daryl's right. A moon shuttle conductor. Kirk leaves suck bay. He means sick bay. Good point. What's that green lady doing in there?
Kirk to suck bay.
Kirk, come to suck bay. That's what we call it on Friday nights.
Report to suck bay immediately.
Kirk leaves suck bay during his physical, and McCoy yells this at Kirk. Here is a clip of that going down in suck bay.
You can see the alarm lights flashing from there, McCoy. Why didn't you tell me? Finally finished physical on you, didn't I? What am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor?
Jumped every time a light came on around here. I'd end up talking to myself.
Yeah, suck bay.
That's the best ice worm typo I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's maybe the best ever, man. Keep those coming. Sometimes I think he types those, sees them, and then says, meh, I'll leave it.
That's what he does. Yeah.
Pretty much guaranteed. All right. Big thanks to Mike, by the way, who does these every day. And good job, Daryl. You're starting the week off proper, and I'm glad your kids are feeling better. And I hope you don't get the barfs.
I think it's done.
You think it's passed? Good.
Yeah.
Nothing like the worst year on record for the norovirus. Hope everyone's enjoying it.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's bad this year. Everyone's getting it. Two cruise ships. Not that one we talked about last week, but another one.
If you know anyone who went on a cruise recently, don't hug them when they come back.
Guess what time of year I'm never going on a cruise? The winter.
I was going to say ever.
Ever, dude. Ugh. Yeah. I don't like cruises. I get motion sick. I don't want to go. All right, Daryl, good job. We're going to have you on again tomorrow and do this again. But between now and then, people can follow you on Twitter at TheTrekNerd. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Skills. And it's a great little show about Star Trek. Daryl, let's play a game. Is it different or is it the same? Nut or Star Trek thing?
It is something else because I'm tired of nuts.
Crap!
That's your thing.
Is this a Star Trek weapon or a bricklaying tool?
Wow, that's
of course,
pretty...
I have to tell you what the word is before you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Glavin.
A Star Trek character or a bricklaying tool?
Is a Star Trek weapon. Well, if you choose to. Well, no, it's got to be. It's either.
I'm going to say bricklaying.
I'm going to agree also. Screwed.
This has been a bad snap.
This is
Goodbye.
The worst Goodbye. Day of your life. We all got it proper.
It's a bad snap with a ball right over Peyton's head.
That was awesome.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Blaine Monday, a.k.a. Bearska, in the chat room. His first publication, Raving Lunacy, is a poetry collection with a difference. Check it out on Amazon.com now. That's Raving Lunacy by Blaine Monday.
Sounds good to me. Lunches were seized from kids.
Yes.
That were in debt at a Salt Lake City elementary school.
No soup for you.
No soup for you. Up to 40 kids at a Uinta Elementary School in Salt Lake City. I do not know this school, but I'm sure I've driven past it.
Sure.
Picked up their lunches Tuesday when then watched as the meals were taken and thrown away. Not eaten or given to somebody else.
Right.
Thrown away.
Just dumped in the trash.
Makes perfect sense. Because of an outstanding balances on their accounts. Parents who haven't paid them up. A move that shocked and angered parents not just here but across the nation. Erica Luke's parent says it was pretty traumatic and humiliating, whose 11-year-old daughter had her cafeteria lunch taken from her. She stood in line Tuesday at Uinta Elementary School. They gave the address here, which is kind of funny. Actually, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know why they did
that. Yeah, she's going to show up and bitch them out.
Yeah,
great.
That's weird. Luke said, as far as she knew, she was all paid up. I think it's despicable, she said. These are young children that shouldn't be punished or humiliated for something their parents obviously need to clear up. Jason Olson, a Salt Lake City district spokesman, said the district's child nutrition department became aware that Uinta had a large number of students who owed money for lunches, but they did this on their own. There is an idiot principal floating around who thinks this is, I'm going to teach them a lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's teach their parents not to be suckling on the teat of the system.
Just dump their food right in the trash right in front of them. And then we're going to make fun of them, and then we're going to... Yeah,
the way
horrible.
I look at it is I realize, Brian, we live in a world full of bureaucracy and issues. And I get it, okay? I get that there are people who are gaming the system in certain ways. I get that there are people who aren't. And I get that there's lots of gray in the middle. But the one thing I think you can do, it may not be perfect, but the one thing I think you can get away with is go ahead and let the kids eat and then talk to the parents and keep chipping away at it and get them to pay if you can. Mm-hmm. But don't make the kids not eat.
Exactly. And if there is gaming of the system going on, it's not the kids doing it.
No. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Don't blame the kids. Won't someone think of the kids?
Think of the children.
It was a big mess around here. Nobody's happy about it. So for all you people in the nation, the rest of the nation going, ah, look at that. What a weirdo bunch
of
people.
That made it into the Colorado news last week. Mm-hmm.
But if you think that's how everyone is here, you're nuts. Everyone's up in arms, including just regular folk here. So that was a bad move by a bad administrator who better be fired at the end of this thing. Bless you, by the
way. Thank you.
You got a little winter allergy going on today, don't you?
Something, man. I'm a little congested. And
something in the air.
Yeah. Definitely.
Bill Stanley, not Stanley, Stanley.
Stanley.
Has been buried astride his motorcycle inside an enormous plexiglass box riding his beloved Harley to heaven. You need to see this.
Or so he thinks.
I find it really distasteful and kind of gross. I don't like it. There's pictures of him being lowered in there.
Oh, God.
You need to see that photo. It's not cool.
That's a dead man.
That's a dead man. He's got that look on his face.
It looks like a police. Well, except for the sidecar.
Yeah.
They could have definitely done a smaller. Is the wife going to be put into the sidecar when she goes?
No, but they should have a little German man. And then when they get shot at it,
Lardy Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Why not, indeed?
That's funny.
Says, but it hasn't been easy. The project required an extra large cemetery plot to accommodate the plexiglass casket for Bill Stanley and his hulking custom-painted 1967 electric glide cruiser.
Electra glide cruiser.
I guess a thing, I guess. That sounds like old lube, doesn't it?
It does, right, yeah.
Electra glide. Oh, yeah. Five embalmers work to prepare his body with a metal back brace and straps to ensure he never loses his seat. My gosh. How did you do this to yourself? He wanted everybody to see him through this box. He was a quirky man, daughter Dorothy Brown said. Comes to his kids. He loved us. He raised us well. And, of course, he wanted them to help him. The Dayton News Daily reported that Stanley of Mechanicsburg, west of Columbus, died of lung cancer Sunday at age 82. Actually, you know, he looks all right for an 82-year-old.
He does look good for 82, although, he's got a helmet and back brace stapled to a motorcycle, so how bad can he look?
Yeah. The photo shows him with his eyes closed, astride the big bike, dressed in black leathers, a white helmet, and glasses. That's the cop part. Looks like a cop. Yeah. His gloved hands grasping the handlebars. So there you go.
I am glad they made his eyes closed because that would be really freaky to have his eyes open.
That would be super freaky. Or his mouth in a big smile or something, a big grin.
Right.
And how do you keep the hands on the handlebars? Do you think they got to staple them?
Those are definitely, I mean, if they're putting a back brace on him to keep him upright, of course they're putting something on his hands to keep him mounted on the.
I've got a friend, a mortician friend. I should ask him what this takes.
It's funny. There's trophies in there, too. Like, he's got trophies in every corner.
Does one of them say People's Choice Award Podcast 1995?
That would be hilarious.
That would be. There you go. There's your dead man for the day. Leading us straight over to HelloFresh.com, whose food I wish I would have been eating.
Yeah, see, you would not have been feeling that way had you been eating something from HelloFresh.
No, because chances are it would have had veggies in it, and it would have had some really good sort of healthy things. It would have been a nice, moderate, high in fiber, low in fat kind of meal choice, unlike the garbage I shoveled into my face yesterday. Mm-hmm. I blame no one. My wife did the thing that she was going to do anyway. It's not it's not her fault. Everybody ate and was fine.
She put a sign on it that says, good for everyone except Scott.
Yes. I mean, I have this thing that is mine alone, and I understand that. And I realize I am a lone man in the wilderness, and I need to fight my way through the jungle with my machete to get to the other side. And that I do that by eating better food, and I can do that in part by going to HelloFresh.com, where they make cooking fun again. Their chefs create the amazing recipes. You pick what you like, and the exact farm-fresh ingredients are sent straight to your door. It's that simple. 30 minutes or less, and you have an amazing meal. They are expanding all of the time. If you're in Germany, Australia, and the Netherlands, the UK, the U.S., and you want to find out if they deliver to you, go check them out at HelloFresh.com and use the code MorningStream50 at checkout. That's MorningStream50 at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers at HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Hey, look, it's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
The Life is Leet podcast. Nerds yelling at microphones about things. Jesse, a tadpooler, and Aaron, his younger brother, talk about video games, anime, comics, movies, and whatever other nerdy things they feel like. Join us for the live recording on Saturday afternoons in the only time zone that matters. For all the links, visit lifeisleet.com. They all say right. that Saturday afternoon in the only time zone that matters. What time Saturday afternoon?
Oh, yeah, they didn't say
You'll just
time.
Have to visit lifeisleet.com to find out.
Yeah, in all the times is when it's on.
That's right, yes.
All right, I want to see if you can tell if there's something wrong with this list I'm about to read to you as I read
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
This is the 50 most popular women of the web. This is by Google results for the last year. Okay,
all right.
Number one, Lady Gaga. Great.
Sure.
Number two, Kadalarha.
Right. I noticed they spell that with an S, but yeah, they okay. do.
Kesha, I guess, is how you'd say it now.
Right.
Three, Madonna.
Sure.
Still a big draw, I guess. Mm-hmm. Four, Beyonce.
Yeah.
Or Beyonce is how I would say it.
Beyonce.
Five, Rihanna.
Okay.
Britney Spears is the number uh-huh. sixth one. Number seven, Justin Bieber.
Whoa,
you want me to stop there? Wait,
the 50 most popular women on the web yeah. per Google search results is seventh one is Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on because the next three are Miley Cyrus, Paris Hilton, and Avril Lavigne. Somehow Justin Bieber is number seven on this ABC
I can't
News
believe
poll.
Justin Bieber is a more popular woman than Miley Cyrus.
I know, I don't get it. I thought they were the same. Shouldn't they share
That's
the seventh spot?
Really funny.
It's pretty funny because this isn't like some joke site or BuzzFeed or something else. It's abcnews.com, Brian. It's a wow. reputable news source.
Wow.
Who says number seven is Justin Bieber.
So. Somebody had to have snuck that in like as a, you know, the writer of that article snuck it in as a joke.
Yep. Pretty good stuff, though. Made me laugh.
A little jab. That's hilarious. Who's the writer on that one?
Liz
Herron.
Yes.
And they haven't updated it, fixed it, or anything.
Have you seen this? Sorry, just a beep, 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 up, update. News update, everybody. Hold on. Where is it?
Oh, I thought that was music playing from you. That's the ABC site that's playing music. Oh. Ava Longoria, sadly, the 50th most popular woman on the internet.
She's fallen in favor then.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the Prince guest star on New Girl last night? Did you catch
that?
No,
it aired too late here. Like they preempted it till 11 o'clock. So.
Oh my gosh, really? Oh, because yeah. you're
so
local.
We're gonna watch it tonight. I'm sure there was some, you know, sob fest going on. We actually left in the middle of the fourth quarter, left my uncle's house and drove back home. It's like, well, let's go beat all the suicidal drivers on the road.
Yeah. Interesting. My thoughts were when I saw the promos for it is that Prince looks like, what's that girl that everybody was into for a while? Maisie Gray.
Yeah, Maisie Gray. Yeah, totally with a big old afro that he had. That's not a usual Prince hairstyle, but,
He still looks about 19 though.
I can't wait to see it, but boy, is it some weird casting.
Yeah, it's odd. It's very odd. And the entire episode was draped in purple, best I could tell.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, the reason I brought all this up is this, we haven't talked about this Woody Allen thing.
What is a Woody Allen
thing? Oh, you haven't heard about that? Yeah, you hear about this?
No.
Woody Allen's daughter came out. So there were always these accusations. Mia Farrow had accused Woody for decades of sex abuse against his daughter,
Sun Yi,
Dylan.
Right.
No, the other, the other daughter. Okay. So the Sun Yi thing was a whole separate deal.
Yeah.
Where he's married to her now.
Yes.
And
if she came out as lesbian, that would have been news right there.
But this Dylan Farrow, this other daughter who would have been six or seven at the time, is making some really, really heavy duty, hardcore claim about very specific abuse allegations toward Woody Allen.
Oh, wow.
And he, of course, isn't saying much, but he's about to come out with some big response. And there's been a lot of back and forth. And then it's really stirred up this controversy about victims are immediately discounted by men, and you know, it's been a big stink. So we'll see. I don't know who to believe at this point. I guess we'll have to wait and see how it all pans out.
I'm curious to hear more about that too. This is the first I've heard about. We did watch Blue Jasmine, by the way, which
was
really, really good.
Was it?
Oh, it was excellent. Hmm. Cate Blanchett can do no wrong, in my opinion. She is just, she is I was going to say a national treasure, but she's Australian, I think.
He makes a good movie. He knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Midnight in Paris was really, I mean, he's, you know, he could list millions of, well, hundreds of movies.
If these allegations turn out to be true, though, it's kind of hard to support a dude who's did something terrible like that.
Yeah, for sure. And that could even hurt chances for, like, I think it's up for best screenplay or it's up for something else besides Cate Blanchett for best actress.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. All right.
You heard there was a song that got pulled from the best song category, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, so there's this song that was included in this really, really under-the-radar, low-budget religious Christian movie. Mm. And I can't even remember what it was. But it was sung by this woman who is, I want to say, paralyzed. She's somehow disabled and actually had to have her husband press on her diaphragm to record the song, for her to make the noises to sing the song.
What?
And this was one of the best picture. I'm sorry. This was one of the best song nominees in the Oscars. It turns out that the one of the producers of the film is formerly someone on the Academy, and he knew kind of the way to finagle to get the song nominated. Mm-hmm. So it didn't go through the usual channels of how these songs get nominated. And so the song has been pulled from the ballot.
Oh my gosh!
Yes.
Wow.
So I think Mike probably still has that song in the TMS
the
Oscar
list,
pool.
Yeah.
So yeah, so make sure you don't choose that one.
Oh my
that's a lost point right there.
Which one is it again? What's the name of it? Do you know?
It is "We Are Not Who We Are" or "We Are Who We Are," something like that.
What's the movie?
It's the same name. The song and the title of the movie are the same.
We are.
Let's see here. I'm pulling it up right now. Alone Yet Not Alone.
Oh.
Is the movie and the song.
I like We Are Who We Are better.
Yeah. It's a Kesha song, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was.
I knew it was a song title that had repeating words in it.
Yeah.
That began and ended with the same
That's exactly word. Right. That's funny.
Alone Yet Not Alone.
All right. Well, don't pick that one, guys.
Don't pick that one.
Yeah. You're not going to win.
It's bad.
It's out. Someone pressing on somebody's diaphragm is my favorite part of that.
Go for here's a safe bet. Go for the song from Frozen.
Yeah,
there
do
you
that.
Go.
That one's going to be your winner.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling, author and auteur of the famous Harry Potter
She's
series.
She's the one who wrote that great Casual Vacancy book. Did she do anything else?
Little things here and there. She had an idea on a napkin in a bar once. Did okay for her. It was all right. Sure. By the way, people say they like that book. Is that book good? I heard it was good.
Tina read it. She said it was eh.
Yeah, not really blown away by it. Some people I talked to really liked it. I haven't read it. I am reading The Blade itself right now at the prompting of Veronica Belmont, friend of the program.
Cool.
And it's good. Man, she was right about this book.
I started the new Neil Gaiman book, and I have not finished it.
If you get
and
on
I've not read it for a few weeks, so I need to get back into it.
I had this kind of moment with her.
Thank you, Veronica, for turning me on. Oh, good.
In.
She turned you on.
Yeah.
I should say, like, Scott Johnson is my bitch.
Exactly. Because I read your books.
Bitch.
It's really good. I like
cool.
it. Fantasy, kind of hardcore and good. I like it. She says, J.K. Rowling, that is, not Veronica.
Yeah.
Hermione should have married Harry, not Ron. Ooh,
okay.
This is late-breaking business here. Harry Potter, heroine, Hermione Granger, and flame-haired friend Ron Weasley. And their unlikely romance left some fans calling for the female character to be paired up with the protagonist instead. Go write your fan fiction.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Jeez, you guys. And now the Wizard series creator is admitting she may have gotten it wrong by mentioning Hermione with Ron. I actually don't think so.
No. What the hell? That's such a crazy thing to say. Like, after the fact, it's such a Lucas.
It is a Lucas thing. You're going to go digitally change the last movie and
right.
change the pages.
God, you've got to change a lot of stuff to reset that.
I would have been more disappointed that this entire series, you have Ron and Hermione building this relationship and this tension and then not having that pay off in the end. That would have made me more mad.
Exactly.
I know there were sometimes hints, especially in book 5, that Hermione and Harry had a couple of moments, but It's just adolescent fumbling, you know?
Yeah. I remember that one scene where Snape shot first.
Yeah, that was great. I like when Snape was shooting stuff. She told the magazine, I wrote Hermione-Ron relationship as a form of wish fulfillment. That's how it was conceived, really. For reasons I have very little to do with, that have very little to do with literature and far more to do with me clinging to the plot as I first imagined it, Hermione ended up with Ron. I know, I'm sorry. I can hear the rage and fury it might cause some fans. But if I'm absolutely honest, distance has given me perspective on that. It was a choice I made for very personal reasons, not for reasons of credibility. Am I breaking people's hearts by saying this? I hope not. I now go back to the largest house built in all of England and have 20 people rub my feet and clean my butthole. All
yeah, right. That's so bizarre.
Well, that and the terrible thing I just said. All right, moving on. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show. They have some amazing stuff, guys. 5 great styles, 7 great colors, all designed to sound great no matter what you're putting in your ear holes. We love these guys. And I wore a pair of these when my kids were watching Futurama super loud the other night, and I wanted to read this book Veronica gave me. So I put on some really cool fantasy music. I can't remember what soundtrack. Maybe How to Train Your Dragon or something, which I really like that soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And I put that in these noise-canceling earbuds, played that while I read the book, completely blocked everybody else out. Plus, the music just added this like epic feel to everything I was reading. It's a great combination. I recommend it.
That's cool. I was actually using mine this weekend to do. I have a little miniature AT-AT model that I got from Think Geek for Christmas. Mm. That's metal miniature thing where you've got to use tweezers and needle nose pliers to bend these tabs and curve these things around to put it together. It is really, really cool. I'll bring it down, put it on the camera in a minute.
Sounds awesome.
Again, you know, Tristan was playing Left 4 Dead with his friends. I put on my wood earbuds, my tweaked wood, and drowned all that out and listened to the new Peter Gabriel cover album.
Oh, you didn't hear the plans him and his friends made to drive their car really fast down Main Street with a fog machine blowing out the back.
No, I did not. Oh. I missed all that, I'm afraid. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I heard it on Skype, so I'm familiar with the plan. It's going to go well. It's going to go fine. It involves cops and you at 2 a.m. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Get these fantastic noise-reducing designs and so many more with a lifetime warranty. That comes with all of them. Use Stream at checkout for 33% off your next pair of earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. All right, let's get to a break. When we come back, we have our friends Steven Schleicher will be here. He's nothing like Nicole.
He's nothing like Nicole, no.
She would say,
crap!
When I say that.
You call him Steve Schleichley?
Schleichley. Schleichley's good. I like that. He'll be here talking about some nerdy stuff, and Kim and Sarah will be here to talk about the aftermath of Super Bowl food and beyond. And we also had pho the other night. We're going to talk about how that went.
I saw your photos of pho. That looked so good.
It was really, really good, I have to admit. But we have kind of a conundrum, and I'll ask them about this when they come on because it's kind of funny.
I got to get a picture of this, but there is a place here in Denver called Pho King.
No way.
Yes.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding.
For real?
For real.
That's great. If it was me, I'd say fruh, because I remember that time in, where were we? Anaheim. And for some reason, I was trying to say frickin' and something else at the same time, and I ended up saying the word, and here it goes, folks, try not to be offended. I said the word frucking to Brian as we walked out of the Anaheim Convention Center. And I still to this day don't know what I was saying. It's really odd. Anyway, here we go. Song. Let's do a song.
Let's do a song. This one's a request. And it is going out to John from Richmond. It says, hey, Brent and Spiner, February 2nd marks the anniversary of a very special day. I'll be celebrating my 35th birthday, and in honor of this great accomplishment, I was hoping to make a request for one of my favorite covers of all time. Would you mind playing Pete Yorn's cover of Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark? I love the show and wanted to say thanks for the many laughs you two have provided over the years. Thanks, John from Richmond.
You're welcome.
So this was included on a CD, like a bonus CD import remastering deal for something for the, what was it called? Something for the Night, or I don't have that in front of me. And it's not listed on the cover itself. But it was a re-release that came out just a few years ago, a bonus CD. It is Pete Yorn. It is a Bruce Springsteen cover. It is Dancing in the Dark, and it's acoustic.
I like it.
The audio quality is not fantastic, but it'll do.
Wasn't this guy in the video?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle?
Yes, Don Cheadle was right there. Was right. Dermot McRoney?
All right, there it is. It's Dancing in the Dark. We'll be back in a minute, Dancing in the Light. And when we come back, we'll have Steven, we'll have the girls, we'll have some emails. Stay tuned.
Joe Kennedy in live performance.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Introducing Macintosh. It does all the things you'd expect a personal computer to do. It does a lot of things you wouldn't expect a personal computer to do. And it does some things no other computer has ever done before. Of course, to do all this, you will have to learn to do this. Macintosh. The computer for the rest of us.
Diarrhea.
Ah!
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting. Looking for a come up. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back.
Diarrhea.
So,
Music for the Morning After, by the way, is the name of the album.
Oh, okay. From. It's lovely. It reminded me of Ben Folds 5 for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Very Folds 5-y.
Pete Yorin has done stuff with Ben Folds
5. Oh, he has?
5. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. Oh. They were in a band together. They did a cover of the Jayhawks' Blue, and the name of that band was... Oh, shoot. Can't remember. The Thorns.
What's the Ben Folds song about the baby that died?
Maybe Brick.
Brick? Yeah.
Brick.
Rick. Rick?
Brick.
Brick.
Brick with a B.
Brick.
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 Like okay. The Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie.
Right. With the I like that movie.
Yeah.
The girl from Lost died in it. Anyway. Yes. Point is that I like that song, but I don't like it in a weird way because it's very connected to a very foggy, cold January day that you couldn't see maybe 30 feet ahead of you. Everything was frozen solid and there was salt kind of everywhere and it was dead quiet in the morning. I want to say it was like 7 or 8 in the morning on a Sunday and I'm driving my car and my car's heater's not working and I'm hearing that song and it is so indelibly tied to all of those sensations and feelings and visuals that I can't hear that song without being immediately put back in that car.
Wow.
It's a very odd thing. I don't have too many songs I can even say that about. Anyway.
No. But songs have a way of doing that, of a way of taking you back to some certain, you know, major, or not even major, but just some event. Anyway, I was wrong. Pete Yorin was not in the Thorns. It was Pete Droge.
Oh. What about the Droge?
The Droge.
True story.
All right. Let's call Steven McSchleicherpants and talk to him about the world of tomorrow today.
I never knew my father.
All right. I don't know why that's your theme today, but we'll go with it. Steven, good morning. How are you?
I am good, Scott Johnson. How are you today?
So good. It's so great to have you on, man.
Mm-hmm. Are you? Did you have a good weekend? Did the team you want to win win?
Oh, I didn't care either way.
You were kind of not really into it.
No, I don't know what it was. I mean, if it hadn't been for us live tweeting the game, I would have turned it off about the second quarter.
Mm.
Yeah.
The live tweeting thing does add something to these sort of events, don't they?
Well, it certainly made it more interesting than the actual game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm part of the problem, I guess. I get real snarky and goofy when this stuff's going on. Although some people may have noticed right at the top of the fourth, I went kind of quiet for a while. Well, I can tell you why.
Sorry about your tummy troubles.
It's all stupid, dude. It's so stupid because I could have avoided the whole thing, Steven.
Look, you and I are about the same age. I can't even eat a barbecue potato chip without getting heartburn anymore. So
see?
Our bodies are telling us that it's time to change.
It's not fair because I know other guys who are in their 50s or 60s are sitting around eating like, you know, an entire pig in one sitting.
I know.
And they're just fine. So I was just not made of such metal, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes me
angry. I went overboard yesterday, too. Yeah. Chicken wings, pizza, nachos.
Yeah.
Blech.
Were you at some point curled in the fetal position wishing you were dead, though?
No.
Okay.
My butt was glued to the toilet, though.
He can handle it.
Steven taking a...
Crap!
All right. So, Steven, it's good to have you back. It's always fun to talk about the nerdy stuff going on in the world of Major Spoilers, which is where you, of course, hail. And we have got to talk about the casting news for the Superman Batman thing. Some of this has been covered on other shows here and there, but I really want to get your take on the whole Eisenberg as Lex Luthor thing.
You know, it depends on what they're going to do with the story. I mean, we know that Ben Affleck plays a Batman that's much older. We know that Superman and Lex Luthor are about the same age in this universe. So from an age perspective, Eisenberg and Cavill are about the same age. So that's not that big of a deal.
Right.
I think the weird part, though, is in today's world, someone like Mark Zuckerberg would be considered someone like Lex Luthor. But I don't know if they had to go so far as to cast the guy who played him in The Social Network to play Lex Luthor. That's the part that gets a little weird for me.
I can understand that. But the reason I'm okay with it, and it's come up in a couple other places, is I feel like Eisenberg has a quality to him that, I mean, he kind of is the same character in everything he makes.
Right.
He's got the Michael Cera kind of problem.
Yes.
Which I'm not saying is actually a problem because those guys clearly do well and people like that thing that they are.
Yes.
But he's also got this thing in his eyes. You saw it in The Social Network a couple of times. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. where he looks like the nerd, he looks like the brainiac,
yes,
kind of soft and not going to really cause any problems or whatever. And then there's this look in his eye that looks like he could snap any freaking second.
Oh, yeah. And I think there's a quiet intensity in there. Yes. And I think that's kind of what you need in a Lex Luthor. Because even if you watch, like, the Superman animated series, Lex Luthor was never, not until you got into Justice League United mm-hmm. or Unlimited, yeah. that he started chewing the scenery. You want somebody with a quiet, methodical intensity yeah. that's just there knocking out the orders and then, you know, wringing his fists when Superman comes in and knocks him down a peg.
Yeah. The comedic take that Gene Hackman did was fine for its era.
Right.
The somewhat of trying to cross those two things, be kind of crazy and scary and be comical at the same time, was sort of tried by what's his name in the last Superman iteration. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. House of Cards, man.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah. You guys said Kevin Spacey the exact same time, and it sounded really weird on my end. Hearing your two voices in perfect synchronicity.
Weird.
Anyway, so what was my point with that? My point with that was we've seen those takes, and I feel like I need something more sinister this time around, and I feel like Eisenberg could probably pull that off. And he has a way of being damaged goods when you need him to be,
sure. mm-hmm.
and that's what I think. You know, I'm not saying we need Lex Luthor to be a victim or that there isn't some power in him strutting around going, "All right, everybody in the Legion of Doom, let's have a plan." I mean, that stuff's fun. But I want something a little bit more. No, he is pissed, and he is going to do some real... You've crossed the line, Superman, whatever you've done, and now Lex Luthor's going to kick your A. But the bigger question for me isn't so much about all this casting news, and I think Irons is actually a worse pick for Alfred.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's a little weird. But aside from all that, let's say he does a great job. It feels like there's too much going on already. Is this a Superman versus Batman movie? Is it a Superman versus Batman only until Eisenberg shows up? Like,
it has to be a joined forces at the end kind of thing, right? I mean, it has to be, you know, we fight. It's like any team up. We fight at the beginning, mm-hmm. realize we're on the same side, and then we have a common enemy that joins us together.
It's like Tango and Cash again or something.
There's still some speculation that they're going to make an announcement and change the title of this movie in the next 6 months to simply The Justice League.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if that's something that you can really bank on, and I probably wouldn't at this point since they made such a big to-do about it. But more and more people are saying, you know, with everybody that they're casting, with the way this is being set up, why is it called The Man of Steel 2 or why is it called Batman versus Superman? It's probably going to be changed to The Justice League.
Mm-hmm. But I'm having this hero creep problem.
Mm.
And usually I have villain creep. Is what I usually get. Like the new Spider-Man looks like villain creep 101.
Yes. Rhino and Electro and Green Goblin.
Yeah. And someone else, I think, right? Isn't there some mystery?
Oh, I knew about three. I didn't know about four.
I think there's like a fourth hanging around, or they're going to have just a hint of Doc Ock or some weird thing.
Yeah, we've seen the tentacles and we've seen the vulture's wings, so that only leaves, what, one more for the Sinister Six?
That's right, yeah.
Craven the Hunter.
When I saw the trailer, I said, your tentacles are showing, and they didn't seem to have a problem with that. So anyway, it'll be interesting. I want that movie to get out so we can quit speculating and just see what the hell happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because
it's
really
going to be. I think it's going to be great. And I, you know, a lot of people are like, "Don't you hate Eisenberg's casting as Lex Luthor?" And I'm like, I really don't at this point. Mm. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a hater on this one. This is too easy to hate on. I think you have to think about it a little bit more before you pass judgment. And besides, like anything with these things, who knows till it comes out? I don't have any idea how Affleck's going to do. I don't have any predisposition to think he's going to be terrible or not.
Right.
Let's just see. Right. You know, wait till he. And if he is great, we can talk about how bad he is then. But let's let him try and see how it turns out. Maybe he won't be on drugs then. Everything will be fine. It'll all work out. So let's talk about Lego. But before we talk about the story about Lego, my kids and my wife went and saw a preview screening of the new Lego movie, which opens this weekend.
Yeah. Did they like it?
They really liked it. I can't say much else about it, I guess, because they had to sign some hoo-ha. But
yeah.
It was really, they really, really liked it. So from the perspective of a 16 and a 13-year-old, a total home run. And Kim loved it. She said she was laughing out loud. She doesn't do that in movies like this. So they may have a real hit on their hands with that thing.
Well, I know my son has been begging me to take him ever since he first heard about it. Like, when was it? Last January or something. So
yeah. And what I was excited about to tell you about is apparently I don't think this gives anything away because the trailers show a lot of this, but
right,
major comic book crossover stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like if anybody ever wanted to see a Marvel and DC crossover, this movie's got like a bunch of the characters from the Marvel universe. It's got Batman, Superman in it. I think it's got Thor, and I forget who else in it. But
yeah, that's cool.
The Flash makes an appearance. Wonder Woman's in it.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, Green Lantern's in it. They got all these different dudes and all the Star Wars guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some of whom are rumored to be voiced by their actual actor counterparts.
Oh, really?
Excellent. And that's all I'll say about that, because I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that. But yeah, seems really cool. So take the boy. He'll love it.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So tell me about this C-U-U-S-O-O. What the hell is this new set?
So Kuso is this it's not really a competition, but it's this open source place where people can build their own Lego creations and put them online and have people vote for Lego to consider making this a real Lego endorsed product. And so in the past, Scott, I think you guys have the Minecraft Lego sets. Mm-hmm. Those came out of the Kuso project. The last one was, I can't remember. Oh, the Back to the Future DeLorean came out of this set. And Lego just last week announced their next set is going to be something that I think a lot of fans are going to be excited about. So I'll give you 5 seconds to take off your headphones or hit pause or skip forward. Are you ready?
Yeah, go.
Spoiler, go, yeah.
Ghostbusters Ecto-1.
Oh,
wow. Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be. And I think it includes. I think it includes.
That was the noise, yeah.
Was that what that was, the noise?
Yeah, okay. That was the noise it makes.
Great.
I think the minifig set includes all four of the Ghostbusters figures, plus the Ecto-1. The other one that was in competition was the Firehouse Ghostbusters headquarters. That was another one in competition, but that one didn't make it this year. So we'll see what happens. They're going on with their spring competition right now, and we'll find out who else is up for that next time. Now, that's not to say that just because they're the ones that didn't get the most awards or votes won't be considered, because there's a couple of women-oriented, it's called Women of Science, I think, sets that they're considering making anyway, and I think that would be really cool too. So if you haven't checked it out, Kuso is the place to go to see what people are making with their Lego.
All right, very exciting. Now, yesterday, we used Super Bowl to kind of finish on some stuff here. The Super Bowl had numerous trailers for films that we technically are in the business of being interested in.
Right.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, Transformers. I love your superb owl.
We'll get sued if we use that other word.
I know, but you know what's great? Superb owl is a great idea for like a parody superhero character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To draw that.
Well, or if they're a masked superhero, it'd be Superb Cowl.
There you go. Perfect. See? I was most interested in the Winter Soldier trailer, the new Captain America movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks really awesome.
God, yes.
Yeah. Talk about it. It's like Tom Wolfe sat down and hacked this one out. It's just got this whole Cold War vibe to it, and I am really excited about seeing this.
I mean,
of all the Marvel movies, Captain America is the one that I've liked the most, and I want to see more of the expansion of that character, and it's based on the Ed Brubaker series, so it ought to be really, really good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, they fixed his suit from Avengers. I hated the Avengers suit. I hated it. It looked like blue pajamas. I couldn't stand it. It was the only one in that entire movie. Everybody else looked great. Freaking Captain America, though, what are you doing? Looked real dumb. He looks great in this. It's cool when they put like the, what do you call those, like suspender-looking straps with like little
like the little bandolero thing.
Yeah, that stuff is great. So he looked really cool. Winter Soldier himself looks really nifty. I assume that origin story is what we think it is, right?
I imagine what it is. I mean, we kind of got a hint of that in the first Captain America movie when he went in and rescued Bucky. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Are they going to call him Bucky? That stuff is such an old era, you know, like.
Well, he was Bucky in the first movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they call him Bucky in that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's Bucky Barnes.
That's so stupid. I mean, the name Bucky Barnes, I mean. It's just a dumb name. It's just such a I'm Aqualad kind of era in comics.
Yeah.
And if they're true to it, I guess I respect that. But it looked really interesting to me. Spider-Man 2, kind of still going, I don't know. I'll see it. I haven't even seen the first one, so I guess I shouldn't be even talking about this. But
it looks flashy and big. Yeah. And, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it looks flashy and big, and it's certainly going to draw a lot of people into the theater.
What do you think about that Transformers business with the dinosaurs and stuff?
I'm not going to make any comments.
You know, that I will say that it has that same moment of the that giant transformer worm thing in the third movie that was in the preview that like is like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh wait, when remind me, I'm this is a Transformers movie.
This is a Michael Bay Transformers movie. Right. Don't get your hopes up, folks.
Yeah, I mean, there's some moments in there where I kind of get a little excited about the fact.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's Dinobots in it. Uh-huh. You know, all this stuff people are like really excited about. And then it's like, yeah, I saw somebody tweeted and said, you know, the cool thing about it is in these still images, the Transformers look really, really cool. But when you think about how they edit these movies together with all these close-ups and fast cuts, it's going to look like somebody's just flinging scrap metal throughout the entire piece, and you're not going to be able to really enjoy the spectacle that is giant robots fighting.
And I want more story of giant robots talking. I want more of the – I want more of what the show was. And they've never done that yet. Like, they keep making these, and I keep going, are you going to take a risk here? Because you know people are going to come out and see it. So it's a guaranteed moneymaker. You don't need to worry about, well, we better put more action in here, or we better have more human beings in it. Now you can take some risks. And Michael Bay, if you're truly the Transformers fan you claim to be, then you want to hear Optimus Prime talking to his dudes about stuff.
Yep. And I want to hear Marky Mark sing You've Got the Touch.
Oh, dude, he's going to come out and go, hey, how's it going? I was in a couple movies a couple years ago. Like, he's going to be a weird... He's a... Well, whatever. That's fine. It's better than LaBeouf. What am I saying? I'll take him over LaBeouf.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Good vibrations. Remember that song? That was a big hit for him. All right. Well, there you go. Steven Schleicher, anything else going on in your world we should let
people know? There's a lot of things going on. People who are part of the email list probably got the announcement last night about something that that's coming up in May. More announcements up on the website soon. But for those people who signed up for the email list, they got it first. So we won't spoiler it here. It's a good thing. And I think it ties in nicely with everything that we do.
I'm excited. I agree. And like everything you're doing over there, majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter is also part of Comic Dorks, which I kind of hope we're recording this week, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know. Check my schedule.
Yeah, let me know if that fits at all. If not, we can do it.
Yeah, I think
it will.
Well,
somebody may be out of town. We may have to do it next week. Okay. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But all that stuff and more is going on. But Major Spoilers on Twitter is the best way to find out what's happening in the last minute of every day or something like
exactly.
that. Steven, have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you later.
Sorry. See you guys.
Bye. See you.
Did he say sorry? You shouldn't have said sorry.
It sounded like it, yeah.
Are you at all excited about the South Park Stick of Truth game coming out?
Kind of. That was really the first I'd heard about it, seeing that little preview for it yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I've been following it for a while.
I'm excited yet. Oh, have you? Okay.
A couple years now.
This is the MMO, right, that they've been talking about
for years? No, it's an RPG, but it's not an MMO thing, not like massive. It's a single-player sort of thing. I don't know if there's multiplayer in it or not, but it's not meant to mainly be that. You can pre-order it on Steam and all that, but it looks like they've created a game to, I mean, in the past when they made South Park games, they were always like, well, we're going to make a 3D-ified version of South Park and everything's going to look weird.
Yes.
This is straight up like everything is like their style. Yes.
Yeah.
But not even just like it even moves the same. It doesn't move differently. It doesn't feel like a Flash game or something. It moves like the animated series and apparently has a pretty deep RPG system in there, which I love.
Cool.
So even though your abilities are things like, you know, farting or whatever, it's still a straight up RPG. And I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. So watch for that. Coming soon. All right. The girls should be here any second. Well, where the hell they are. Here, let's do this for fun on the air. I'm going to call her.
Okay.
Just see if I can nab her. Find out what's going on. This business underway here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kim Johnson. Is that her number? I think it is. Because I got the studio all set up, man. I got a mic over there now. I got, like, I don't have to do anything fancy or turn anything off or up or anything weird. I invested in a new Hale PR40.
Ooh.
Well, sort of new, but not really new. But it's the same model I have, so I can do what I need to do. I don't know where they are. The gym, maybe?
They knew that they were going to be on today. Right. There's no excuse for this.
Hi, you reached Kim. Leave a message.
All right. Beep. Where's the beep? Oh, hey, what are you guys doing? Where the hell are you? We're doing a show here. I can't just... Brian's here. He can't just sit here and wait.
Hey, Raymond's here too. Hey.
All right, we'll see you guys in a minute, hopefully, by now. All right. I don't know where they are. So maybe what we'll do is jump to emails and then come back.
Okay.
Emails. Let's do some emails brought to you by.
Down then. Are you a fan of movie news?
Yes.
Do you want to keep in track with the latest movie happenings from around the globe?
Yes.
Then listen to Off Tracks Podcast. Off Tracks Podcast is now available on iTunes. Simply search for Off Tracks Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at OffTrack3. Like us on Facebook. Search for Off Tracks Podcast and come visit our webpage at OffTracksPodcast.com.
Oh, great. All right. Now, that sponsorship is for emails, but now it'll also be for Current Geek because they just showed up.
You're not Current Geek. Geek Food.
Then what I say, Current Geek Food is what I meant. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Can you hear
Good
yourselves?
Good morning.
Yes.
You can hear yourselves in the headphones?
Yep.
You can hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, that's amazing.
And everyone sounds good. We have directional sound right in front of you. We have directional sound in front of me. There shouldn't be any kind of echo or crossover.
Brian, do you have directional sound in front of you?
Brian, what do you think?
I have unidirectional sound.
Oh.
Even better.
If I go to this side of the microphone, you want to hear me as well?
That's right. We were talking about... We're talking about unibras on the last Geek Food episode.
Nice.
We won't get into that, but people should listen to it.
Unibras or unibrows?
Unibras. That's what we used to call.
Bad.
It's what we used to call jock straps when I was a kid.
Oh, that's right. That was on our episode. Because
it was there. It was for support. You know, that was the idea, and we talk about that at length on the Geek Food podcast. Which
that was funny.
We did.
Was way fun. So, all right, can we talk about food for a second?
Yes, we can.
Can we talk about?
Sure.
Can we talk about food for Super Bowl consumption?
Which
How
we
was
did
that,
yesterday.
Scott?
It was terrible.
Aww.
So you
was
were
good.
Here.
No. The food,
no, the
was,
food
good.
Was fine. But and you guys were both here. Sarah, you were right here, and I was fine. It's like, bring it on. Let me eat a pound and a half of those meatballs. Let me keep eating those chicken wings.
By the third plate, it's probably.
I just kept going, and I'm going. Yeah, the game. Denver's getting killed. This is great. Brian's gonna have to sing on the show. All this stuff's great. But then it hit me, and I had this flare up from that thing I have, and it was awful. So, here's the question. Is it possible to build a spread for the Super Bowl without it being that kind of stuff? Like, you guys did something unique with Thanksgiving this last year.
Right.
That totally kind of changed the way Thanksgiving is consumed, and it's way less of a pig fest. We should do that with the Super Bowl.
I think we're going to have to.
Yeah.
Well, now I have no choice.
Go on.
Part of the problem was the person bringing a salad and the veggies didn't show.
Oh, yeah, they didn't come.
So kind of the healthy part that you needed to probably digest the meat with, that messed it up.
Yeah. And I was, I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm writhing in pain, and I'm burping up what I can only describe as...
Meat.
Meat. Yeah.
Like, there's just meat.
I'm like a sock, like a sock packed with meat is how I felt.
That had to hurt.
I can't do that anymore.
No.
I'm out. I'm done with it. I'm going to eat nothing but for today. I'm eating liquid all day.
Old man Johnson's going to just
totally, man.
Change his diet.
Well, we were just talking to Stephen Schleicher, and he said the same thing. He says, I can't even eat a barbecue potato chip without having heartburn. So we're just,
wow.
I think we're just of that age. Now, Brian over here is a little more resilient. He's iron, iron guts.
Yeah, I had Parmesan garlic wings yesterday. I had a bowl of chili, some artichoke dip, some queso.
And you're fine.
I'm fine.
I hate you. I hate you with a fiery burning
stomach
passion.
Of iron is what I've got right
stomach
here.
Stomach of iron. Yeah.
And I was fine. The rest of us were all fine. We all ate the same thing.
No, I'm
Might
the
not
problem.
Have been quite the quantity of
it.
Super happy this morning.
Well, if I
look at
Taco Man over here.
If I would have eaten a meatball and a chicken wing, I would have been fine.
It really is about portion. I think when you're, especially in that situation where you're watching something, you're distracted eating. So you're eating way more than you even realize you're eating.
Yeah.
Because you're not even paying attention to what you're eating.
And I can't do it anymore.
Sometimes the worst.
It's just habits, and it's like this is built into me since I was a kid that if there's a big wad of something to eat in front of me, I have to eat it. And I have this is and I it's hitting me how actually hard this is. You think, oh, as an adult, when it comes to your eating habits, you can just go, oh yeah, I can change. It's no problem. But
it's a lot harder.
It is so hard.
Because a mental change like that is huge.
Yeah. So if you know somebody out there is suffering from bad eating habits, just know that it is not as easy as you think it is to tell them to change their stuff.
Right. And you're not alone.
Yeah. And you're not the only guy.
And you fail over and over before you start feeling like you're getting
exactly
it right.
Exactly.
Before you feel like you've hit rock bottom and you have to make the change.
So let's talk about, speaking of changes, let's talk about the pho and how that went.
Ooh, it was really a long day of cooking.
It was like 8 hours, right?
I was waiting to see what she was going to say on that one.
Yeah, you have 6 hours of cooking.
Was it worth it? You have a lot of prep. You have a lot of grocery shopping to do because it's a lot harder to find
different foods in it.
Oxtail than you might think.
What is that exactly?
You never did find that, did you?
No, never did find that. I went to a couple of Hispanic marketplaces.
Specialty meat places.
Is it an actual foxtail?
No, oxtail.
Oxtail.
Not a foxtail, but how cool would that be?
Foxtail would have been delicious.
That would have been something else.
What is the oxtail?
Nice. So, is that what you sang this morning, by the way?
No, he hasn't sang it. I got to pick him a song.
Oh.
So that'll be fun. I'm sorry. I'm trying to set up the camera to look at you guys.
Yeah.
So just remind people he had to do it. He had to do this huge, long preparation all day.
Well, no, it's a lot of preparation, grocery shopping, things like that. But once you get it all put together, it's letting it simmer all day. So it simmers for like 6 hours.
All day.
But you got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you put your raw meat slabs in there. And that's it cooks.
Yes. Okay. So
but you do that right before you eat.
You make your broth and it's got tons of seasoning and lots of beef, lots of bone marrow going in there. So it all cooks out and tastes really good. And then you strain that. Then you take a bowl with your noodles and your bean sprouts and your uncooked meat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And you pour the boiling broth over it. That cooks everything.
That's crazy. How hot is that?
It's boiling.
It's boiling hot.
It's boiling, literally.
So are you ever worried that, are there countless Vietnam people with, like, burned hands? Like, how easy
They're
is
like,
it to burn
sure.
yourself?
Pho veterans.
Pho veterans, yeah. They've seen the worst of pho.
No, it cools off pretty quickly because you have the raw meat. It's like paper-thin sliced steak. That's what's getting cooked. Yeah. So it's really thin. It only takes a minute to cook, and the boiling stuff cooks it, but it also cools it all down.
Too. Brian says they have a local Vietnam restaurant called Pho. It's Pho King.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and they have awesome. a challenge, a bowl challenge. If you eat a, there is a $35 bowl of pho that you can get that's got like a pound of brisket and noodles and a gallon of broth and whatever. If you finish it, you get a t-shirt that says, I am a Pho King Champion.
Nice. That's
wow.
That's awesome.
And if you don't, you get the same thing, but instead of the word champion, it says loser.
Yeah. They should give you a certificate that says you officially have diverticulitis now. So good job. Well, that's good. So,
oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Here's the part I wanted to get to, though. So success. It was great. It tasted great. It was just, it felt authentic. The meat in there was amazing. All that stuff was great. I have zero bad things to say about the pho. Here's the only thing I would say now. You have to make a batch so big that now we have this huge Tupperware bin full of pho juice that we don't know what to do with. What are we going
to
do with it?
You just have to make more.
Are you going to huck it? You're considering hucking it.
You could freeze it.
The recipe I used made enough for probably 10 people, and there were only about 5 or 6 people eating it. So we just had a lot left over. Yeah.
All right. So this is my prediction, but I think that's going to water our grass before the end of the day.
It wasn't that much left over. It was a container left over. But the recipe I did had 2 gallons of water.
Saying is there's a sizable portion of real estate within the fridge that is now mostly a pho container. Ooh. Those two words don't jive together.
No, you gotta watch that one too.
Oops. All right. Well, anything else that's happening in your cooking world that you should mention before we cut you loose?
I'm not sure what we're making this week. We kind of planned for that meal on Friday.
Yeah.
We had some friends over for dinner on Saturday. We had the Super Bowl last night and made tons of food for that.
See, this is the problem. So the night you had all the neighbors over, that was great. We had a good time. New people, got to meet them. They were really cool, great kids. It was really fun. Kim made breakfast for dinner, Brian.
Oh, I love breakfast for
dinner. It's great, right? Bacon, hash browns, eggs, pancakes, the whole schmear.
Yep.
Some orange juice and some, what was the other one we had?
Oh, just chocolate milk to go with it for the kids.
Oh, I didn't drink that part. Anyway, she has this big spread. No fruit in there. Not your fault. Again, I just ate all that crap that night, and it was all carbs and potato-y, starchy stuff that I know is not good for me in the long run. But I make it through that, and then the very next day, I chow down on the worst possible meat pile ever. Still, no fruit, no veggies, none of the things I know I need to have in my diet. What are we doing this week? So I'm not such a dumbass.
Tonight will be salad bar for dinner.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't. I have to do that.
Brian, what kind of salad guy are you? Do you like the mixed leaf stuff? Do you like?
I love chopped salad. Like I love California Pizza Kitchen makes a great barbecue chicken chopped salad. That's really, really good. Probably not super healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm a, you know what? I like the salad you cut with a knife and fork. I'm a big wedge salad guy. Like if.
Ooh, the blue cheese wedge.
Yes, love those.
Yes.
Okay, I like those too. I like a mixed green. What do you call it? Is it mixed greens?
Yeah.
Just a mixed green salad?
Yeah, with lots of...
Baby romaine and...
Yeah, yeah, weird. Some leaves are greener than other ones. Like all that. Like I feel like I'm out in the jungle.
Mixed colors of green, yes.
Yeah, I like to eat... Mixed green, yeah. I like to eat like I'm in the jungle. You guys, you have a sister named Julie, the other stone sister that lives around here. Well, actually, there's two that live around here. But anyway, she makes salads for all the family get-togethers, and she always does them with that stuff. And man,
she always makes her own dressing, too. So good. So that's really
good. That makes a difference.
Yeah. One time there was a weird hair in it, but we'll
oh,
get into
my
that.
Gosh.
We'll get into
oh,
that.
I don't
crap.
Think that was from her.
I don't
literally,
judge.
You're full of crap.
Yeah,
I don't.
A lot of kids around.
It's I am time. Literally full of crap. And it looks like meatballs. All right. So... Awesome. Well,
so
let
yeah,
it...
it's going to be a lighter week this week so that you feel better and we get more.
Where'd Sarah go?
Good
is that her dog?
Oh. Oscar's out there.
Oh, Oscar's here today? Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Well, that's good. How did how'd the kids do? We were just follow up a little bit on how kids are so picky about what they eat. Did your kids do okay with that food yesterday?
Well, Anna ate a roll and chips and peanut M&M's, so I think she's fine.
Absolutely.
That's her usual diet.
That's her regular diet?
Well, when we're out
until she's
it
my
is.
Age,
but maybe. Isaac likes wings and he likes the meatballs and all that. Stuff.
All right, so
yeah,
the kids
he got
did
sick
fun
last night. So did he really?
Did he yak? Did he barf? Oh,
yeah. I don't think it was the food.
He seem to be feeling well last night. He was kind of quiet.
It's hard to know with
who
him.
Isaac or Oscar.
Isaac.
Oh,
it's hard
poor
to
guy.
Know if it's.
Hope it's not the
if
flu
it's in
going
his head.
Around.
Sometimes he comes stomach? Out with a lot of stuff in his
could
head.
Could be the norovirus, Brian.
He's decided he's going to be sick.
Really, kind of.
You guys are like a cruise ship over there. Don't get on that boat. All right. Well, it's always fun to hang out. Let's see. Frogpants.com/geekfood for the blog and the podcast link and all that. I do recommend people listen to the latest couple of episodes, actually, where Steve and I, the husbands of the Geek Food Lady, sat in. And I think we're going to do that.
I think so.
Like all
we
the
really
time.
I really like it.
It was
really,
it's really fun.
It's like the good Friday night hangout.
If you want to hear me be obnoxious and say stupid things more than I do usually, that's a good place to catch it. And that's on iTunes. So you can search for it there. Or just grab the RSS off the site. And the Geek Food on Twitter.
Yep.
Geek Food and the Geek Food on Instagram.
Yep. We
what
post
else?
A lot of what we eat.
Blog.
Yeah. A lot of food stuff. The blog, frogpants.com/geekfood. I can't think of anything else. Is that it?
That sounds good.
That sounds
right.
Great. We'll go with that for now.
That's all good.
Email us any recipes you want.
Yeah. Right? If you guys want to see him make something.
Geekfood@gmail.com.
Don't give him some giant meat recipe. Give him something healthy for me.
There you go. Something for Scott.
I'm not taking the bullet for you people. But that'll do it for us. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
All right. We'll see you later.
See ya.
How easy this new mic setup is. Piece of cake, man. Love it. Oh, and I'll turn that camera off now. You guys didn't know you were on camera that whole time,
did it? It was funny how you arranged it so that they were coming out of your neck.
Yeah. They just covered my head. Brilliant. See you, hon. Oh, did you get that stuff? You're the queen. All right. I need some stuff. You can go get it for me. Anyway, emails. Let's do emails.
Yes. They're still brought to you by Off Tracks Podcast.
It hasn't changed since we last talked. Okay, yeah. Great. Let's see. There have been many great halftime performances over the years, says Dodd Vickers, friend of the program.
Yes.
My top five would be Prince, Michael Jackson, U2, The Boss, and Sir Paul.
Can't argue with any of those. Those are all great choices.
I didn't know that was Paul McCartney. I thought it was just some lady. He looks like a lady now.
He does look like a lady. He was sitting there eating a slice of pizza.
Yeah, dude looks like a lady eating pizza in the game. He says, I think Bruno did a fantastic job last night along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I didn't quite break that top five barrier for me. So he's like you.
Yeah.
I want to see if you agree on my top five or if you have other nominees. What are your top five and which is your number one? I should have planned ahead for a great closer, but ultimately I love the show, Dodd Vickers.
Right.
So what do you think? Is your I mean, you kind of said, I think you said The Who is your favorite.
The Who is one of my favorite ones in recent years. You know, I still kind of, I didn't mind the Britney Spears Aerosmith one from a few years ago, like 90s, early 90s.
I remember that.
Or mid 90s, I should say. Yeah, his top five would probably be easily five of my top seven. And for me, the Bruno Mars Red Hot Chili Peppers was, while it was a solid performance, I don't even think it would make it to my top 10.
Yeah. I think you're probably a better judge of this than I am.
No, it's all subjective. So it's
I just know the last couple of years have sucked. So this seemed like a big step up.
Well, Beyonce wasn't too bad last year, right? Madonna the year before with the weird
arm gloves,
pole jumping guy, and yeah.
Oh, the hole jump! I forgot about the hole jumping guy.
Yeah, the pole jumping guy.
Pole? What'd I say? Hole? I meant pole.
Pole jumping guy.
I didn't like her very much. I remember not liking that. I remember thinking that Black Eyed Peas were the worst idea ever.
Oh yeah, yeah. Pass. So,
yeah, pass on a lot of that for me. But I enjoyed this one. Okay, I thought it was all right. Let's see, dear Skidmark and Blowout and Depends.
Wow.
I'm not sure where this is going to go. I forgot what this says. When we send food from Honduras. Oh, this is the Honduras Food Center.
Yes.
We sent a piece of paper explaining each item. Brian reads the top portion of the letter, but not the details at the bottom. The set of details that was pretty important and included the word warning on the description for the mini obleas, the ones that look like used Band-Aids. Take a look at the paper and the photocopies with the bad ink lines that show the mini obleas ingredients. Even though you don't heed our warnings, we still love the show, though, Randy and Ramsey in Orlando.
I don't know if I still have that.
Do you have it? I might have it.
Yes, I do, actually. Here it is.
Okay.
Warning for the mini obleas. These are wafers with goat's milk candy in them.
Yeah.
Are you getting a call?
No. Are you?
In Skype? I must be getting a call. Who's calling me in Skype? Seriously.
Mine doesn't make noise. But I don't have
weird. Mine doesn't either. That was weird that I was able to hear that.
Hmm.
Because usually, yeah, mine's turned off as well. Okay, sorry. The ingredients list on the back says may cause diarrhea and flatulence, but I'm told that only happens if you eat too many of them. Oh. Maybe try them if you have a case of the runs.
Oh, we should have checked that.
On the actual package, it says may cause diarrhea and flatulence.
Wow. I didn't have any problem with those. They were because I only ate the smallest amount possible.
Yeah, exactly. Just a smidge.
That was like getting a gnat in your mouth while you're riding your bike too fast. It was no big deal.
That's a funny one that had the two ladies in scarves wrapped around their heads, uh-huh, and smiling and laughing at you because you're eating stuff that
they would never touch.
There it is. Yeah, este producto puede causar diarreas y flatulencia.
I'm going to take your word for it that means you're going to get diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
The Purell was flying all over the place.
Yeah, they wish.
Ugh.
Got one here from, Chris. Says, dear Bowling Ball and Blind Face. What?
Okay.
I don't get that at all.
I don't either. I'm sure there's something, though.
It's weird. You guys give me joys. I fly down the ski slopes every weekend. I don't know how I would get through the 4-hour car ride up the mountains without it. I'm a 14-year-old nerd who plays Dungeons & Dragons and has more hours in Counter-Strike than I'm willing to admit. Anyways, I would like to request a cover. Oh, it's a cover thing. I should have sent that to you.
That's funny.
I'll still send it to you. Thanks for everything, Chris Peak. What? Thanks for everything, Chris Peak and I. And when I get in the chat room.
He asks a question. Now this person is calling me on my other computer. What the heck?
Who is that? Do you want to take it?
Daniel Blackadder. Does that name sound familiar? Blackadder?
No. Super annoying, though.
Yes.
Don't call during the show, you jackass.
Lock him. Jiminy Christmas. He does ask a question here. Also, if you could have anything for a pet, real or fictional, what would it be?
Oh, man. Real or fictional? A talking white tiger.
Wow.
But it had to be intelligent, non-lethal. Like it didn't want to eat me. And it would be as smart as a person. And then he and I could talk and hang out.
I'd want something that could carry me and fly. Like a
dragon.
Like a pterodactyl or a dragon. Yeah, dragon would be great.
Yeah, he'd talk like this. I was hungry.
Let's go to Vegas. Let's fly to Vegas.
We'll be there in an hour. You have to keep yourself warm, though.
We'll park right on top of Excalibur and will know.
You ever lose your car keys? He can be Sean Connery's voice.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That reminds me. I started watching the Dennis. Okay, so Dennis Quaid, the younger kind of used to be better looking Quaid, not Randy Quaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Quaid brother did that show with Michael Chiklis that was on TV for a while called Vegas. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it only lasted like a season and they canceled it. But it was written by that Pileggi guy who wrote Casino and, you know, had a lot of, had what's her name from The Matrix in it, Trinity's in it. And
right. What's her, skinny off from Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Yeah,
that her. Girl. some other people. Anyway, it's pretty good. I feel bad that show's not on the air anymore.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people talking about that. Really enjoyed it.
It needs to be on cable. I think cable would have been the better place for it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have lasted, I mean, because network TV, they don't give stuff like this a chance. But it was cool. But I wanted to say this about the whole reason I bring this up. Dennis Quaid, you know, we talked about how I have grumpy resting face. Mm-hmm. Like if I just relax, I look like I'm pissed or, you know, irritated when I'm not. And Wendy says she has helper face or whatever, and some people have bitchy resting face or whatever. Dennis Quaid has chaotic resting face.
Chaotic resting
face. When Dennis Quaid is just chilling, he looks like he is a serial killer.
Really?
Yeah, he just looks horrifying when he, right now, maybe more than ever. And I don't know about when he was younger so much, but right now, if you look at Dennis Quaid and he's kind of not making a face, he's just relaxing, you feel like he's about to explode. It's hard to explain. Look for some old pictures of Dennis Quaid and you'll see what I mean.
That's funny.
Hey, Aaron in Arizona has an email, final email of the day. It says, hey, stealing and bribery. I'm a certified fraud examiner. Oh, I see. I get what he's doing there. And thought you might be interested to know that some evidence that supports your tendency to trust women more than men. There's some evidence that I'm in the okay, that I'm not a dirt jerk for preferring women over men when it comes to hiring practices. It says every 2 years, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners conducts a research study on global fraud trends. And the 2012 report includes these conclusions. Number one, males account for 2/3 of all fraud cases. Number two, male fraudsters cause fraud losses more than twice as high as the losses caused by females. Number three, these trends have remained consistent for 3 studies straight. That means well over a decade. Here's a quote to cut off potential argument at the knees. Quote, this part of the study, this disparity does not appear to be based solely on males occupying higher levels of authority than females. We compared losses by gender based on the perpetrator's levels of authority. Males cause significantly higher losses at every possible level. So the next time someone tries to give you any lip, tell them you're not a misandrist, that you're just fraud smart. Throw the book at him, yo. Aaron from Arizona.
Wow.
That's some deep stuff. He's a certified fraud examiner. He knows. And he says, I'm not wrong to trust women more than men. See? What do you think, Brian? Do you think about being the night?
I think it might be, yes.
All right. Great.
Wow. Misandrist.
Thank you very much, everybody. That's going to do it for us. If you'd like to send your emails, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. And while we're at the point of talking about it, let's just thank people for being here. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, girls, Geek Food Ladies. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Scott Fletcher, for all your voice work. AlphaGeekRadio.com is the Shoutcast stream. Support them by going to bit.ly/AlphaGeek and support his Indiegogo right now, like we talked about at the top of the show. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS, themorningstream@gmail.com, morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville for Twitter. And a quick note, we talked about it a little bit last week. For the show, we are going to be setting up, just for TMS, no other shows currently, we're going to set up a Patreon account. And we were going to try to have that up today, but there's so much going on over the weekend, it just didn't happen. So watch for that coming soon. A Patreon account where you guys can support the show. We'll have goals, all kinds of plans in there that'll help us do cool stuff. Some have asked if I'm already a Frog Pants supporter at one of those levels. Does that mean it carries over? Do I have to cancel that? What do I do? And my answer to that is I knew there'd be some crossover. There are going to be people who do that thing that only really meant it for TMS in the first place. And if that's one of you, you might want to move it to this new thing. Or if you're not, and you want to support more Frog Pants stuff over there and a little bit here, you can do both or one or the other. There's no weird rules or anything. You can do whatever you want. So watch for that in the next day or so. Okay? All right.
All right.
Brian?
Yeah.
Regale us with a tune.
All right. So this one is appropriate for the game that happened yesterday. Sorry, we're getting messaged by someone on Twitch right now. I guess we'll talk to them after the show today here. Although it seems odd that this person is saying that they are from Twitch. Yeah, they're just using the regular chat channel to talk.
So wait, anyway, this is a Twitch person?
This is the person actually that was just trying to call me on call me on Skype, apparently. This Black Adder.
What the heck for?
We'll talk about it after the show. Anyway,
All right.
Appropriate or not for the Super Bowl that happened yesterday, this is a cover of the song Loser. This one performed by the great Scandalous All-Stars, good buddies here, from the album Hit Me. This is their cover of Beck's Loser.
All right. I like it. Sounds good. Let's play it now. Tomorrow, Justin Robert Young and Chinbeard will be here. So if you want to come hang out for that, you're more than welcome to. Here's Loser. See you tomorrow.
Chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, and I'm out to get the junkie with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls, and a beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the loser in the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Get a couple couches, sleep on the love seat. Someone keeps saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. Get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So sleep your face with some mace in the dark, saving all your food stamps and burning down a trailer park. So. With a phony gas chamber, cause one's got a weasel and the other's got a flag. One's on a pole, shove the other in a bag. For the rerun shows and the cocaine nose jobs, daytime crap with the folk singer slot. He hung himself with a guitar string, slap a turkey neck and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. I can't write if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beef, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax, falling on a termite, that's choking on the splinters.
part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Forbidden to me.
I played that because it's forbidden to do a Twitch show that isn't video game related.